We are just really delighted. You folks that are members of the church, we're glad you're here too, but we expected you, and we're glad you're here nonetheless. What a great day. I'm so sorry my wife's not with me on this particular meeting. She's been with me on several weeks on the road, and then my son had a birthday this weekend. He turned 20, and he's been home from college this semester working, making money, and so we felt it would be wise for her to be home with him on his birthday. So that's where she went, and so it's just me, and so... I'm not all here because she's not here, and I'm really not all here if she were here, to be honest with you, but I'm happy to be here tonight and happy y'all are here. It's just been a great day, and Pastor, I've enjoyed getting to know your pastor. We've known each other just in passing, but I've been able to fellowship with him the last few days, get to know him better, and sure do appreciate his spirit, his love for the Lord, his heart for God, and just a great guy, and I'm thankful for him, and I'm thankful for all of you as well. Hope you've had a wonderful day. Hope you're ready for God's Word. So look at Ephesians, and you know this about Ephesians, don't you? If you were here yesterday, I told you that there are several passages you have to master if you're going to have a godly family. So yesterday, we went to an Old Testament passage. We zeroed in on Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we really parked there all day and just talked about what God wants from us. He wants us to develop our family. We talked about family development, family devotions, family direction. We talked about family discussions. And I covered a lot of territory yesterday, but today I want to go to the second passage. And if you're in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6 are really key texts. If you're going to have a godly family, you got to go know these verses. And you ought to master them. Now, we've only had a few days together, but I have challenged you. Read Deuteronomy 6 and take notes and underline it and chew on it and ask the Spirit of God to help you grow through it. And I hope you'll do the same with Ephesians. It's just six chapters, but if you're not going to read all six, at least read 4, 5, and 6 and chew on them and meditate on them and let the Spirit of God help you. How many of y'all agree that all of us need help in having godly families in this generation? Y'all agree with that? Just hard, isn't it? And the devil's attacking us and the world's attacking us. The enemy's just brutal about it. And yet, there's no doubt about it, God's for your family. Do y'all believe that? God is pro-family and He's pro-your family. And He knows everything going on in your family, and He's on your side, and He wants to help you. And you young folks that are in the building tonight, I'm glad you're here, because you're the beginning. Now, your parents, I hope, have raised you well, but if they haven't, you're still responsible for you, so pick it up. And if you're newly saved and you don't even have a Christian family, well, then make it the beginning. Make your Christianity the beginning of an incredible, just multi-generational Christian family. And that's always been God's plan, and I want a testimony of that. Just that God takes one person, saves them, and then uses them to reach multiple generations in that family. And so that's what we're talking about, and that's what we're emphasizing. I'm in Ephesians tonight. I said chapter 5, but let's just start for a moment in chapter 2. Would you do that? How many of y'all know that chapter 2 of Ephesians is how you get saved? How many of y'all know that? Did you know Ephesians tells you how to get saved? Did y'all know that? Now y'all got to talk to him, or we'll be here all night, all right? I know it's been a long Monday, but how many of y'all know that Ephesians will tell you how to get saved? Did y'all know that? Do you know the verses? For by grace are you saved through what? Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a what? It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I don't want to assume on a Monday night. I probably could. It's Monday night, and it's a family conference, so you probably are here because you're concerned about a Christian family. But Ephesians is essential to tell you how to go to heaven. This is where a Christian family starts. It starts with you knowing you're going to heaven the Bible way. Salvation's by grace, isn't it? That's everything God did for us to be saved. He planned it in eternity past. How many of y'all believe that? The Bible says that. I don't understand it, but the Bible says it. And Jesus died for our sins and was buried and was raised from the dead. How many of y'all believe that? He did. Because He died, you can be forgiven of all of your sins. You know that, don't you? And because He was raised from the dead, through Him you can have everlasting life. And here's how you get it, by faith. Now there's more to it. You can get all theological, and there's a lot of words to describe the gospel. But I love how simple Ephesians is. For by grace are you saved through faith. You're a sinner and you can't save yourself, but aren't you glad it's this simple? You turn to Jesus and He's a great Savior, and He'll forgive your sins and He'll save you. Do y'all believe that? And you can get more theological, but you don't get theological too much about it till after you've been saved for a while. Y'all know that? Because when you're a sinner on your way to hell, what do you need to know? I'm a sinner and Jesus is a Savior and I need Him. Is that right? And remember when you got saved? How many of you remember that? Do you remember when you got saved? How long has that been for some of you? Long time? How many of y'all say it's a long time? Maybe you're a long time. Come on, nobody here does. How many of you would say, I haven't been saved very long at all? Anybody like that? A few of you? So it's kind of a little, most of you have been saved a while. How'd you get saved? Do you remember? Well, you were a sinner, weren't you? And you heard about Jesus, didn't you? And what did Jesus do? He died for your sins. He was buried. He was raised. Did you believe on him? Did you turn to him? Did you call on him? Did you trust in him? Well, then he saved you, didn't he? And aren't you glad it's that simple? You don't work your way to heaven. The Bible wants you to know that. You can go to church, and everybody ought to go to church. And I believe that. Do y'all believe that? But I'm biased. I am a preacher. I think everybody ought to go to church. But the fact of the matter is, you can go to church, it won't get you to heaven. You can get baptized, but it won't get you to heaven, because some of y'all know that water can't wash away your sins. Did you know that? But the blood of Jesus Christ can. Is that right? And so you got to turn to Jesus. That's what he says in Ephesians 2. And so really the whole first three chapters are about what Jesus does for us through salvation. That's what he's talking about. You get to chapter 4 and he makes a transition. Maybe the transition is the last paragraph in chapter 3 when he prays for the church at Ephesus. And you get to chapter 4 and he changes gears. And now he's going to talk to you. Now that you're saved, what does that even look like? So what you find in Ephesians is this. It's how you get saved. And then it's how you live the Christian life. And there's a ton in here. Like he's going to tell us in chapter 4 that we need to get into church. Do y'all believe that? He says in verse 11 that he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? To perfect you for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that you'll come in the unity of the faith. That's verse 13 of chapter 4. And there's a lot more in there. I'm going to skip it. But what he's trying to tell you here is you got to get into church. Isn't that essential if you're going to have a Christian family? You got to get into church. Make church a priority. You young folks that are here tonight, make church a priority. And isn't it weird? It's kind of weird, isn't it? That as the world is falling apart, we seem to be having less church. Have you noticed that? The world's falling apart, so we're having less preaching. And yet Paul wrote, wasn't it the church of Hebrews, that he said to them, he said, so much the more, assemble together, and so much the more, as you see the end of time is coming. And so I don't know what that means necessarily in the grand scheme of God's plan, but I do believe you ought to be in church. Y'all with me on that? So get in church and get in your church that teaches the Bible and learn the Word of God. You know, you can listen to music on your phone, but the church is, I'm glad for music in the church. I love it, don't you? Aren't you glad these ladies sang tonight? Because if they hadn't sung, I would have. And so aren't you glad they all sang tonight? Help me out here. And we're glad for that. But here's the whole point. Church is more than music. You know that, don't you? It's about the Word of God. So we go to church to hear the Word of God. So get your family into church and make it a priority. He's talking here about we need apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He's talking about the church. So get into church. Get your kids into church and train them to sit in church. And you teenagers, bring your Bible to church and follow along the Word of God and take notes. And sometimes teens will say, you know, church is so boring. Well, maybe it's your fault. Because you ought to be up here preaching sometimes and looking at y'all. And I'm just telling the truth. Sometimes you're preaching and folks are like, you know, just there. You know, it's like the wheel's turning, but the hamster's dead. And like, you know, the bar's down, lights flashing, but there's no train. And it's hard. So you kids, pick it up. Make church a part of your life and make it a priority. And girls, when you start looking for a guy, this is good advice now. When you know you're ready to get married and you want to find your guy, just make that a part of it. You go to church. And if he doesn't go to church, then, you know, run away and tell him you're not even an option that you've been going to church. And it doesn't matter how good looking he is or how much money he has. He'll be a lousy choice if he's not involved in the church. Is that right or wrong, y'all? So get into church. That's what he says in Ephesians. You got to get into church. And then he says you got to grow in the Lord. Look at chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you do what? Henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. How many of y'all know that the rest of the world doesn't know anything about God and they're walking the wrong way? Do y'all know that? That's the truth, isn't it? So don't pattern your life after the world. They're going the wrong way. You can get what they got. Just go their way. You can mess up your family. You can end up divorced. You can lose your children. You can ruin your family in all kinds of ways if you just want to live like the world. So he says you got to live differently than the world. And he describes them in verse 18 and in verse 19. And then he says in verse 20, but this is not true of you. See, you have not so learned Christ. And look here in these verses. If so be that you've heard him, I'm in verse 21 of chapter 4, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. All right, put off the old man. Verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and then do what? In verse 24, put on the new man. And what's he saying right here? You not only got to get in the church, you got to grow in the Lord. How many of y'all knew that? You know, the greatest way to have a Christian family is to mature in the Lord. Did you know that's where it all starts? The greatest way to have a Christian family is to grow in the Lord. Put off the old man. How many of y'all know? How many of y'all are married? Let me see your hand on that. If you're married, how many of y'all know you married a sinner? How many of y'all know that? Okay, now let me try that again. How many of y'all know, how many of y'all know that you married a sinner? Talk to me. Y'all know that? It's the truth, isn't it? And there's no doubt. How many of y'all have children? You have children? How many of y'all know that you had sinners when you had children? Did y'all know that? And that's the truth, isn't it? If you don't believe people are born sinners, have a few kids. That'll change your life, won't it? And they're just my, I mean, I've got five, I've got five great kids. You'd like my family, I think. Abby and Josh and Matt and Jake and Charity. I got five great kids, but I'm telling you flat out right now, there's no doubt about it. They're sinners and just as much a sinner as their mom is. It's just incredible. And their daddy too. Y'all with me on this? See, here's what the Bible says. Y'all got a sin nature. Now look, you got to grow in the Lord if you're going to have a Christian family. So you got to put off the old man. And then he describes it for you. And we're not going to read it all, but he just starts listing things. You ought to make sure you're honest. Put off lying and put on honesty. You read in your Bible? How many of y'all know that the tongue matters in a Christian home? You ought to be honest. He says, put off corrupt communication and put on edification and minister grace to each other. How many of y'all know that the tongue matters in a Christian family? Y'all know that? It's essential. You got to be careful how you talk to each other. If you raise your voice and you're hard to get along with and you're irritable and grouchy and sharp-tongued and always negative, well, you're not much of a Christian. Come on, help me out. Is that right? You're not much of a Christian, so you got to pick it up. Grow in the Lord. Are you advancing in your faith? Are you more like Jesus now than you've ever been? How about it, teenagers? How about it, college kids? Are you growing in the Lord? You want to have a happy family someday? You got to get growing. You got to become more like Jesus than you've ever been. He said, you know, you got to get rid of dishonesty. How many of y'all know that's a big problem in a Christian family? Dishonesty. You read Genesis? Go back and read the book of Genesis, and you'll find almost every family in the book of Genesis is damaged by lying. Adam and Eve were. Satan lied to them, didn't he? Eat this fruit, you can be like God. Was that a truth or was that a lie? It's a lie. But they listened and they chose the lie over the truth. And boy, can you imagine what their marriage was like after that? They'd never had an argument. Can you imagine that? They'd never raised their voice at each other. They'd never gotten their feelings hurt. They'd never gotten uptight or on it. They'd never awakened grouching, gotten out of bed on the wrong side. They were in a perfect world and sin entered the world. Can you imagine what happened then? Remember when they were sewing fig leaves together and making clothes out of fig leaves? Wonder what that conversation went like. Adam probably said, well, way to go. Eat us out of house and home. Come on, that's pretty good. Y'all, they smirk. And she probably said, well, you're the one who took it. You could have stopped me. It's just amazing how lying. They believed a lie. God came down and said, where are you? And then Adam lied to God. You ever notice that? Adam said, now God, I know what this looks like, but it's not my fault. It's the woman you gave me. She's the one. Can you imagine the audacity of Adam blaming his sin on God giving him a wife? I'm surprised God didn't slap him. Now, obviously, God's not like me. I think I'd have just slapped him on the side of the head if I'd have been there, wouldn't you? And probably Eve thought about it, didn't she? I mean, come on, ladies, wouldn't you? Adam said to God, it's not my fault, Lord. We're down here in sin now, and we're aware that we're naked. Lord, it's the woman you gave me. Can you imagine the mess? The dishonesty. That was a lie. It was his fault. Then you read about Jacob. How many of y'all ever feel like, boy, our family's a mess? Well, if you want to be encouraged about your family, go read about Jacob. That'll make your family be like, wow, we're pretty good. Jacob had four wives. How many of y'all know that's a problem? Y'all with me on that? Some guys can barely handle one. He had four. And I'm just telling you, that's a mess, don't you think? And then his sons were a mess, and Jacob lied up once. He lied to his dad. Remember that? I'm the older brother, Dad. I'm the older brother. Reach over here and feel this goat skin on my arm. Remember that story? Reach over and feel this goat skin on my arm. Dad reached over and felt that goat skin and said, boy, you sure feel like Esau. I read that one time, thought to myself, boy, that must be one hairy dude. Can you imagine reaching out and touching a goat skin going, well, it sure feels like him. Ladies, I don't know what your husband's like, but that'd be a little scary if I were thinking that way. I don't know. He had two wives, so they were married to the goatskin guy. And what a mess that family was. Dishonesty. They lied up. And then Laban lied to Jacob, and Jacob's kids lied. Dishonesty. You got to deal with your old sin nature if you're going to have a Christian family. You got to take care of all that. What is it in your life you haven't dealt with? Is it your tongue? Is it your temper? He says, be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you got a temper problem, deal with it before it damages your marriage and family worse than it already has. You know what? Anger is a real problem in a family. Dishonesty is a real problem, but so is anger. It'll hurt your marriage and hurt your children. You got to grow in the Lord. That's why you get in church and grow in the Lord. That's what Paul's trying to say to the church at Ephesus here. Deal with your temper. Don't let your temper be a problem. You say, well, you know, that's just how I am. Don't blame that on how you are. That's your sin nature. And the Bible says, get your mind renewed and put on the new man and take care of that. Don't let your temper destroy your marriage and hurt your family. Don't do it. Deal with it. And don't let anything keep you from dealing with it. Say, well, you know, that's just how my family is. My daddy could have said that. My dad came from a long line of angry people. My granny was an angry woman. Yeah, I'm talking a mean woman. We used to say she was probably the devil's third cousin. And I hate to say that about my own grandmother, but it's the truth. She was a messed up woman. She's a big woman too. I'm talking big. I don't mean heavy. I mean she could whip any guy in this room. And probably two of you at a time. The woman was just as strong as a mule and mean as the devil. She just was a rough lady. Had a temper like a wildcat. Now, I'm just telling the truth. She'd lose her temper and cuss like you wouldn't believe. As you said, just a rough woman. Had a terrible temper. She shot at her daughter-in-law one day because she lost her temper. Literally reached in her purse and pulled out her pistol and shot at her. Went to jail. Now you say, well, I want to praise God for my mother-in-law. Just go ahead and do so right now. You know, thank God for my mother-in-law. Can you imagine having a mother-in-law like that? Now here's what we could say. Now we could say, you know what? It's just the way we are. Youngs have a temper problem. The Bible says, wait a minute, aren't you saved? It's time to get in church and grow in the Lord. Deal with your sin nature. Deal with it. What is it in your sin nature that's hurting your marriage? Are you bitter about something? Paul says, look, he said, let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor, let that be put away from you with all malice. You've got to be willing to confront anything in your life that's going to hurt your family. What is it in your life? You bitter? And upset about something, having a hard time forgiving, you got to deal with it. That's what he said. He talks about in chapter 5, you got to deal with your impurities. Make sure you're living a clean life. How hard is that in our generation? You got a TV? You watch too much at all? If you're not careful, you got a TV, you can be looking at stuff you ought not to be looking at. Is that right or wrong? It's not wrong to have a TV, but you got to be on guard. Because the old sin nature will try to damage you. You got to live a life of purity. Be clean. And go overboard in this generation. Because of social media and all that. Listen, don't let the sin nature destroy your marriage and your family. You know that's right. Don't do it. You be careful who you're texting. You be careful who you're Facebook messaging. And some old flame from high school throws on a message and wants to flirt a little bit. You let your wife answer that. You let your husband answer that. My wife and I went to college with this guy. He's a pastor. And it's been some years ago. And this just really caught me off guard. I don't really know him real well, but my wife knew him a little better than I did in college. And he lives about 2 hours from where we live, down on the coast, the Gulf of Mexico. And one night she called me and she said, I was traveling without her. She is home. I was traveling like I am now. And she said, hey, I just got the strangest message. And she called his name. And she said, he just messaged me on Facebook, and he said, Bethley, and, exclamation point. He said, I just realized you just live a couple hours away. And he said, I live over here, and he named the town, and he said, I got a nice boat. He said, let's get together, and we can go out in the water, and to catch up in like old times. Just catch up. It's been a long time since college. And my wife, she called me, and she said, I'm a little uneasy about that. And I said, well, just so you know, I'm a whole lot uneasy about that. I'm too young to go to prison. Y'all with me on this? And she said, what do you want me to do? And I said, just wait till I get home and I'll answer it. And when I got home, I just got her, you know, got on her Facebook and I just said, hey, this is Dave, Bethley's husband, exclamation point. We would be happy to get together and catch up. We'd be happy to. Let's get together. Bethley might not be able to join us, but you and I could. Let's go out on the water and see how well you can swim. And now, what was the deal there? What's going on there? Well, in this impure world, you've got to be careful. Maybe he meant nothing by that. I think he might have, though, because he never answered me. Last time we ever heard of him was when I answered him. Now you say, Brother Young, maybe you're just too nervous about that. Well, maybe I am. You know what the Bible says here? The Bible says in Ephesians 5 that fornication, uncleanness, let it not be once named among you. You've got to fight for purity in the generation in which you live. That's what a Christian family looks like. You got to grow in the Lord. And there's so much in the text. He even says, you know what you ought to do? He says you ought to make sure you have a lot of good music in your life. You ever read that in Ephesians 5? Because he says here in Ephesians 5, let me just read it to you. He says in Ephesians 5, speaking, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. How many of y'all agree? How many of y'all agree that there's a variety of music that is okay to listen to? Are y'all okay with that? Like this, aren't you glad there's a variety of music that all music's not exactly the same? Wouldn't you hate it if the only music in the world was Gregorian chants? I mean, wouldn't that be a miserable thing to live with? Hello, brother. How are you? I mean, that'd be just weird, wouldn't it? Aren't you glad there's different music? Aren't you glad there's sometimes bluegrass? Aren't you glad for that? Okay, maybe not. but aren't you glad there's different? I mean, y'all have traveled with me as an evangelist, and like this missionary brother. It's kind of shocking how every week changes, isn't it, brother? But there's a variety. You know that, don't you? Like there's different music you can listen to. And my dad's favorite is bluegrass. He loves bluegrass. My dad, my wife's, you know, from Ohio, and she didn't like bluegrass. Can you believe that? First time I ever introduced her to bluegrass, she said, "My goodness, honey, that sounds like weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." Can you believe she said that? And now it's kind of growing on her a little bit. I like it's growing on her. My dad liked bluegrass. The slower it was, the better he liked it. If it took 3 years to sing a song, that meant it was good. My dad loved that song. Y'all know that old song, Farther Along? I used to go to church. We went to those bluegrass churches in the mountains, and it took them forever to sing that song. Farther along we'll... You know, 3 days later, you're still singing it. But I'm not saying all your music has to be, you know, exactly one kind. But the Bible says right here, we're to speak it ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make sure your life's full. Somebody said to me long ago, a teenager, she said, "Oh my goodness, I'm so down. You know, y'all pray with me, but I just don't know what's going on. I'm so down, so discouraged, and so, you know, I just always feel so depressed." I said, "Well, what kind of music you listen to?" She said, "Country." I said, "Now, I don't mean to be mean about country, honey, but maybe that's why you're so down. You know what I mean by that, don't you? It's not that every country music song is evil, but you know, normally somebody ran off with somebody's wife and she took his truck and took his dog. And it's like, oh man, life is hard and miserable. Listen, you want to have the joy, you got to grow in the Lord. This is a Christian family. And here's why I love Ephesians 5, because the book of Ephesians says, you know, you got to get saved, you got to get into church, you got to grow in the Lord. And then he closes chapter 5 by saying this. Well, while you're at it, he says, go for a great marriage. He says, now get saved and get into the church and grow in the Lord, and while you're doing it, go for a great marriage. Don't y'all think that having a happy Christian home ought to mean we ought to have happy Christian marriages? Don't y'all believe that? Here's the greatest verse in the world about marriage. Ephesians 5, verse 31. You know it? If you were in church yesterday, you said it out loud. The Genesis portion of it anyway. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. How many of y'all know that verse? Where do you find it the first time? The book of Genesis. You find that verse three times in the Bible. Genesis, When God made Adam and Eve and married them together, here's what he said to them. For this cause a man leaves his father and mother, joins his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Y'all know that, don't you? Where's the second time you find it? Y'all know, don't you? Where? Christ says it in the Gospel of Matthew. It's about divorce. Now here's what you find. Jesus used this verse to say that God's plan for your marriage is never divorce. Now how many of y'all know that does happen? How many of y'all know that? How many of y'all know that does happen? It does, doesn't it? When you live in a sin-cursed world, relationships fall apart. That can happen. But how many of y'all also know that God's plan is for your marriage to work? Y'all know that? Y'all believe that? So Jesus said this. Jesus said, from the beginning, my plan was not that you would get a divorce. Because he said, don't you know that the one who made them in the beginning made them male and female? And for this cause, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh. Jesus is trying to help us understand marriage. He defines it in this text. You know there's a biblical definition for marriage? Marriage is one man and one woman for one life. How many of y'all believe that? Somebody says, now wait a minute, two men can get married. Now you think that through. Think that through. Can two men get married? That's a tricky one, isn't it? Not biblically. Can they legally? Maybe. But not biblically. If we are Bible believers, the only biblical definition for marriage is one man who marries one woman and does so for one life. That's the three parts of a definition of marriage. One man, one woman, for one life. You teenagers, if you're going to get married, and I recommend it, y'all married folks with me on that? Teenagers, I recommend getting married. Help me out, church. Y'all believe that? I recommend getting married, but make this your goal, that if you're going to get married, it's for life. Now expect this. I don't know if y'all know this or not, kids, but expect there to be problems. You live in a sin-cursed world, and chances are you're going to have some challenges. Just life. It happens that way. But the God of heaven is on your side, and you can solve every problem in a marriage. Biblically, you can solve it and grow in the Lord and overcome it. And that's God's plan for you. He talks about the definition of marriage here and the permanence of marriage. God plans for marriage to be a lifetime. My dad's hilarious. My dad said to us kids one day, he said, kids, look, if your mother ever leaves me, I want you to know something. He said, I'm going with her. Now that's a silly thing to say, isn't it? But what was my daddy meaning there? He was trying to let us kids know, Mom and I plan for this to be permanent. They're coming up on 60 years fairly soon. It's getting close. Mom and Dad will be celebrating 60 years fairly soon. I'd buy them a cruise, but they wouldn't go. They wouldn't even go to Knoxville, and that's only 40 minutes away. So it's not a lie they're going to go on a cruise. They're going to be happy to stay at home and probably grill something on the grill and go to bed. That's what they're going to do, early, because they're getting old. Y'all with me on this? And then they'll be up early because they're getting old. That's just how they are. Here's the whole deal. This is permanent. We're going to make this last. Oh, dear friends, marriage takes a lot of work. Ephesians says in this text that you got to work on your responsibilities if your marriage is going to be what it ought to be. Brothers, do you know your responsibilities in a marriage? Ephesians says you have two. All you men in the room have two responsibilities in a marriage. Here's all you got to do to make a marriage work, brothers. You got to love your wife as much as Jesus loved the church. That's all, just that much. You got to just love your wife as much as Jesus loved the church, and you got to be her head. Aren't you glad it's that simple? That's all you got to do, just two things. In other words, God puts your wife in your life, and you got to take the spiritual initiative to help your family to be a godly family. That's what he's saying right there. You got to take the spiritual steps to help your marriage be a Christian marriage. Guys, you're responsible. Now, how many of y'all know, brothers, that's a lot of work. But I got good news for you. God's given you time. My mom and dad getting ready to celebrate 60 here for too long. And how many of y'all know they're still growing? Y'all know that? They still haven't arrived. Now they're getting close. They're doing better than they've ever done. They crack me up. Mama talks up a storm and Daddy listens and sometimes says something. Mom will just yak, 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 yak. My dad will say, well. And that's why they do. And they get a cup of coffee. We buy them the coolest coffee mugs because they're grandparents. You know, best grandpa, best dad. We found the coolest coffee mugs in the world. My mom and dad went to a yard sale one day and found these old hospital mugs made out of plastic that's supposed to keep your coffee warm. That's what they drink their coffee out of. We got all these nice coffee, you know, mugs in their house. No, they sit on the porch with the little brown hospital mugs. That's hot, ain't it? Boy, that's hot. Mmm, that's hot. Woo, that's hot. Yours hot. Mmm. Well, that's just how they are. Now, you know what? It's not always easy to have a marriage. And men, you've got to learn how to love your wife the way Jesus loves the church. And how do we know Jesus loved the church? Y'all tell me. How do you know? He died for it. So you can tell, he showed it, didn't he? So you say, well, how does a husband love his wife? Well, you could start by saying it. We could start there, couldn't we? Say, honey, I love you. Say, I'm not good at that. Well, work on it. Do you shave? Tomorrow, you that shave, tomorrow when you're shaving there in the mirror, practice. Look yourself in the mirror and say, I love you. See, practice. You're looking at the man you love. That's biblical. He says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. So you can look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, big boy, I sure love you. But learn to say that to your wife. See, some guys say, well, my daddy wasn't that way, so daddy was wrong. Doesn't mean you have to be. I wasn't raised that way. Build a stinking bridge and get over it. One guy said to me, I'm German. I said, buddy, I don't care if you're a Martian. If you're a Christian husband, you're supposed to love your wife. Is that right? So brothers, say it. Have a sweet marriage. Don't buy into redneck Christianity. Now, I don't believe you ought to judge people by the color of their neck. My daddy's a redneck, and that's the truth. That's the fact for God. He's redneck as the day is long. My dad's the kind of guy that'll, you know, cut his knee in half and stand up and turn the chainsaw off and say, boys, I think I hurt myself. And you're like, you reckon? And he's like, now I'm going to the emergency room. When I come back, it better be cut up. Cut that tree up for me. And if it's not too bad, he'll sew up his own wound. I've seen him do it many times. Hold on, boys, got to sew this up. And he'll, you know, and spray it with some antiseptic from the farm that's got from the veterinarian. And spray her down, you know, and keep the, you know, wounds out. He's redneck to the core. You know what I mean by that? The man's a redneck. My dad bought a brand new truck several years ago. Brand new truck. First time in his life he's ever had a brand new truck. And he is so proud to call me. Son, guess what? I bought me a brand new truck. And I said, Dad, what'd you do with the old one? Because here's what I was thinking. I got kids learning how to drive. And that's a standard on the floor. How many of y'all know you can't text and drive a stick shift? Y'all picking up what I'm laying down? So it's a great train my kids to drive on. I said, Daddy, what'd you do with the old truck? And my dad was incredulous. He said, I kept it. He said, you don't think I'm going to drive that new one, do you? And the man was as serious as a heart attack. Could you believe that? I don't drive my new truck. What's wrong with you, son? That's new. And he still got that new truck. I think it has like 12 miles on it. It's not that bad. It's not too far off. See, it doesn't matter whether you're... Don't let redneck Christianity mess you up. Like, well, you know, I'm from West Virginia. I'm the man of this house, woman. No, you're to love her the way Jesus loves the church. That means you love her unconditionally, and you've got to show it to her. How do I know Jesus loves me? Because the Bible says God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Is it fair to say he showed it? So husbands, how good are you at showing your wife you love her? She likes to shop, then you ought to take her. I can say that because my wife's not here. She likes her feet rubbed, well, rub them. She likes to go out on a nice meal occasionally, well, bite the bullet and go in debt. Get her a nice meal. And you know, you got to invest in it. She likes Hallmark movies, well, occasionally sit down and pretend you like it. You can tolerate it. I mean, you know what's going to happen. It's always a given. You know, she's not marrying that guy. She's going to marry that guy at the end. She's going to be in love with that guy at the end. And this guy over here is going to be chopping wood before it's over. He's going to be upset about it. You know, that kind of how it always happens? And that's just how it always is. But my wife likes those. So here's one way I can show my wife I love her. Honey, you know, tonight, I thought we'd just watch whatever you want to watch. And I know what it's going to be. And I can sit there and go, oh my word. Or I can sit there with her and go, oh. My daddy would disown me. But see, what's it going to take to show your wife you love her? What's it going to take to be the spiritual leadership of your wife, the spiritual leader? Do you pray with her, brothers? Do you ever pray as a couple? I'm going to go out on a limb here tonight and say that if you don't, you ought to start right there. You say, I don't know how to do that. Well, it's not that hard. Talk about it tonight on your way home and say, you know, honey, I think Brother Dave was right. We ought to pray together. And when would be the best time for us to do that? Bethany and I pray together at least twice a day. Normally we walk in the mornings and we're together. So we do a little exercise. We walk, usually 2 miles. And we're done with our morning walk. We pray together. Now we don't have a revival meeting. We just, you know, is there anything we ought to pray about, honey? Because there's some things we pray about every day. David and Abby, we want them to have a baby. And we're praying about that. We pray about that every morning almost. Josh and Bethany's raising Ellie, and we pray about their ministry. And Matt and Kareth, we prayed about Matt a ton because he went through some real health issues last year. And we thought he had cancer and several other things. And a real lot of prayer about that. Every morning, Bethany and I prayed about it. It didn't take long. We're just done with our morning walk. So, hey, let's have prayer before we start the day. And we just pray. See, it's simple. Lord, help us here. Lord, lead us here. Lord, guide us here. Y'all follow me on this? Brothers, pray. The second time we pray is before we go to sleep at night. And I normally, that's a hard one for me because I go to sleep real fast. Any of you like that? I lay down, I'm out. Boom. My wife has this, I told my wife, honey, I do want to pray with you at night, so if you'll help me remember, remind me. Should have never told her that. I said, honey, remind me. And for some reason, my wife will wait till I'm just within moments of being dead to the world. And she'll go, honey, will you pray with me? I always want to fake it. I want to pretend snore. But the Lord won't let me. So I wrote, all right, let's pray, and we'll pray. I said, there's nothing deep about that. He said, well, you're an evangelist. It's not because I'm an evangelist. It's because I believe that a man is to be the head of the wife. And so you take spiritual initiative, brothers. You boys in the building that aren't married yet, get at it. Be a man. Be loving now because you're going to marry a wife who needs your love. So treat your mom respectfully and lovingly. And if you got a sister, treat her respectfully and gently and lovingly. You know why? Because you got to learn to love. And you got to learn to be the head. So do right and take a stand and be a spiritual leader now. Because you got to lead your wife someday. Wives, this is all you got to do. The Bible says in this passage, here's how he says it. In verse 23, you saw that in you. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And he says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church. And what does he say to you, wives? Two things he says to you, wives. Husbands are to love and lead. And he says, wives, verse 22, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Isn't that simple? And he says in verse 33, ladies, nevertheless, let every one of you men in particular so love his wife even as himself. And he says, and wives, see that she reverence her husband. So he says, men, here's your job. This is your responsibility in a marriage. You've got to love your wife and be the head of your home, be the head of your wife. And wives, this is all you've got to do. You've got to submit to your husband and reverence him. Now you say, wow, Brother Young, do you know we're living in 2023? Well, sure. But the thing about it is that what the Bible's teaching here is different than the world. And he's already said that in the text. That's why I went to chapter 4 and said to you, Paul said, you want to win? You want to have victory? You want to have my blessings and favor? Here's what you got to do. Don't let the world tell you how to live. Put off the old man. Get renewed in your mind and put on the new man. And here's one of the things you've got to confront in a marriage. Husbands, the world will say to you, you know, you just let your wife lead. She's smarter than you are. The Bible says, no, husbands, I've designed you in such a way that I want you to be the leader of the home. You know this, don't you guys? God made you differently than he made your wife. Did y'all know that? I hope your silence doesn't mean you don't believe that. Because a man is not a woman. Can I get a witness here? And it's the truth. So, husbands, you're different. So you got to lead differently. God wants you to be the head of the home because your brain doesn't work the same way your wife's works. Your brain is slower. Ladies, did you know that your husband's brain is slower than yours by God's design? And that's the truth. Doesn't mean it's wrong. It means it's different. God designed you wives with an amazing ability to think about everything at one time. It is absolutely unbelievable how God made you ladies. My wife can go out to eat and with her sister. She can go out to eat with her sister. And every time I hear a phone ring in my service, I remember this lady in the church in Alabama. She is sitting. We had such a big crowd. She was sitting at the piano bench. In the middle of my sermon, her phone went off in her big old purse, and she couldn't find it. And it kept getting louder and louder. And there was a point where nobody's listening to me anymore. You know, they're all looking at her. And so I said this right in the middle of my sermon. I said, "Well, answer it." And she did, right in the middle of my sermon. She had this southern gravelly kind of voice, like a smoker's voice. She goes, "Hello." And I said, "What am I going to do now?" And then she goes, "No, he's still preaching." And so every time I hear a phone go off, I hear her voice, "Hello." "No, he's still preaching." So if you need to answer that, just go ahead. Nobody ever does. And but now here's the whole deal. Where was I going anyway? I got sidetracked there, didn't I? Brains go in all different directions. My wife will go out to eat with her sister and come home and tell me everything they talked about at the table. And then she'll tell me what people beside them were talking about. It's amazing. I can talk to my mom for an hour on the phone, and my wife will say, "What'd she say?" I don't know. Isn't that amazing? But here's what we've learned in our marriage. God designed us differently on purpose. Husbands, the reason you're supposed to be the head is because your brain works in a different way than your wife's. And wives, the reason you're supposed to submit to your husband is because your brain works differently than his does. And so those women will say to us, "Well, my husband won't lead, that's why I have to do it." And I'm going to say this gently, ladies. It might be that you're not letting him, because you got to slow down to let him. If you say to your husband, "Honey, what do you want us to do about this?" Chances are, here's what he's going to do. I don't know. Here's what you say to your husband. "All right, you think about that, let me know." One counselor that I read after said, takes an average guy 7 hours to think a problem through. I think I'm above average. I think I can do it in 5. But he said 7 hours. Ladies, what the Bible is trying to tell you is, how in the midst of a sin-cursed world where the world's falling apart, marriages are a mess all over the place, how in the world do you have a happy marriage? Well, husbands, you've got to love and lead, but wives, you've got to submit. And here's what that word means. Literally, it means you lean his way. It means you look to him and lean his way. Y'all know that word? Lean his way. It's the opposite of rebellion. When you work with teenagers, and I have many times in my life, if you have to get on a teenager, "What's wrong, son? Why'd you do that?" A rebellious teenager will lean away. You know what I mean by that? They'll be like this. "Go ahead. Make my day." It's rebellion. They lean away. You know what I mean by that? Submission is leaning towards. So when my wife says to me, "Honey," I love this one. She'll say, "Honey, your son." Now when she puts me as the sole ownership of that son, we got a problem. Y'all with me on that? She'll say, "Honey, your son," and she'll name something. Okay, what's my wife doing? She's leaning my way. She's giving me the opportunity to be the head of my home. Ladies, you got to, this is not a bad thing. It's not like, "Oh, husbands, you love and lead, and wives, you submit, go ahead and do it." No, God's plan is that this comes together in a beautiful combination. That as a husband loves his wife, and as a husband is the head of his wife, and as a wife submits, she leans his way, and she looks to him, and she gives him the privilege of making decisions and answering questions and taking the initiative, and as she reverences him, that word reverence means hold him in awe. Literally, it means to hold him. It's like this. It's like, "Oh my goodness, that is my man. I married him. That's my man. He's twice the man I married." How many of y'all guys fit that category, huh? He's twice the man. That's my man. Woo, neck that man. I remember when he had hair. Oh my goodness. I'm meddling now, aren't I? But see, when's the last time you thought like that? Here's our culture. Our culture is famous. We roll our eyes and sigh about everything serious. Oh, my word. Submission? Seriously? What do you think we are? What do you think we're Amish? There's so much sarcasm about it. No, this is God's plan. When a wife leans her husband, I say, well, how far do you go with that, Brother Dave? Go as far as you can. Go as far as you can. It's a work in progress, isn't it? How much should a husband love his wife? Go as far as you can. I mean, just go all the board. If it's a Hallmark movie, love your wife. See, go overboard. I'm being a little silly about it, but go overboard. So why is what you go overboard? Lean this way. Like my wife is one of the best cooks I've ever met in the world, and it's a wonder I'm not as big as that piano. I mean, the lady, it's a good thing we're on the road, because when we're home, she feeds me, you know, like 3 meals a day, and it's a wonder I'm not as big as a horse. And so my wife loves to cook, and she loves to make dessert. She loves to make desserts. And my favorite are chocolate chip cookies. Without walnuts. I don't believe in walnuts. Not in chocolate chip cookies. Y'all, how many of y'all like them with chocolate chip cookies, walnuts? Anybody here like them with walnuts? So y'all need revival. My wife loves walnuts in her chocolate chip cookies. But in 30 years of marriage, I've never had a chocolate chip cookie in my house with a walnut in it. Now you say, seriously, Brother Young? Seriously. I've never asked her to. If she put walnuts in them, I'd be healthier because I wouldn't eat her chocolate chip cookies. But she's never made them that way. Why? Because she's leaning my way. So how far could you go? He says you hold him in awe. You submit and hold him in awe. Don't ever get over it. See, when you love your wife, you hold her in awe. Jesus said this about his church. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. You get the idea? He really loves us, don't you? Jesus went to a cross, suffered humiliation with joy. Why? Because of me. Because of you. He really loves us. My goodness, husbands, don't ever get over loving your wife. Make it a sweet thing. I mean, just be in love. Flirt with her. Tell her she's beautiful and tell her frequently she needs to hear it. Tell her she has beautiful eyes. Tell her you love her hair. Tell her she's the best cook you've ever been around. Tell her you'd marry her all over again. You guys ought to be writing this down. These are good lines. Tell her you'd marry her all over again. I tell my wives periodically, I tell my wife periodically, honey, I could dive in those blue eyes and swim forever. That's a good line. You ought to use it. Unless she has brown eyes, you better change it. See, it's just loving. Make your marriage something sweet. Go to work on it. But ladies, make your marriage something special. God gave you this man, and so reverence him. Build him up. When your husband loves you, it meets the emotional need that God put in your life. But ladies, when you reverence your husband, it meets the emotional need God put in his life. See, when a wife says to her husband, honey, you demand, he'll believe her. That's the truth. My wife says, honey, you demand. I'm like, you know what? Come to think of it. Baby doll, you right. Isn't that amazingly powerful? And think about all that God gave you so your marriage would work. He gave you his church so you could grow spiritually. He gave you a Bible so you could have devotions and grow spiritually. He gave you instruction. He said, husbands, work on loving your wife and being the head. And ladies, work on submitting to your husband and showing him respect. Just hold him in awe. Anybody can complain. How many of y'all know you can always find something to complain about anybody? But look for the good. I remember my mom and dad were going through troubles when I was a kid. We all knew it. They weren't getting along. They were fussing. They weren't doing well. If my mom said this to us kids once, she said it 100 times. She would say, I'll tell you one thing about your daddy. He's the hardest working man I know. What was my mom doing? My mom was looking for a way to hold a man in awe that she was having a problem with. That's what she was doing. So I want you all to know something. Your daddy is the hardest working man I've ever met in my life. He's an amazing man. She told us that all the time. We knew they weren't getting along. But we also knew that she was there to stay. My dad would say things like this. I'll never forget this. He'd say, you know, your mom's the hardest working woman I know. Every time I come home from work, there's a meal on the table. That woman do anything needs to be done in this house. What was he doing? He was looking for a reason to be in awe of each other. See, make your marriage something special. Grow in the Lord and go for a great marriage. Be happily married. Laugh together. Serve God together. Flirt up a storm. You're married. It's okay. You see, our teens don't like it. Your job is to embarrass them anyway, so get going. If your teens have never caught you making out in the kitchen, then work on that. You got work to do. They ought to know you hold hands. They ought to catch you sometime, you know, smooching real good. This is marriage. It's a glorious thing to be married. He says, for this cause a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two of them become one. There's a responsibility. There's a relationship. This isn't some cold, sterile thing. Remember what we learned yesterday in Deuteronomy? Everything about the home in Deuteronomy, work at it, is based on the fact that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. The point of it is that in the midst of a Christian family, what makes it all glorious? We love God, and this is real to us, and we're real deal Christians. The same thing's true in a marriage. What makes a marriage something special? Because we're real deal Christians, and we love the Lord, and this is real to us, and we're madly in love with each other. We're all going to get old. Is that right or wrong? And God's plan is that a marriage works a lifetime and you just enjoy being married. You're going to get older, so enjoy being married. Last week I went and visited Brother Ralph Kalfi. You probably don't know him, but Brother Kalfi pastored Rich Creek Baptist Church down in Spanishburg, West Virginia for many years. If he lives a few more months, he and his wife are going to celebrate 68 years here very shortly. Later this year will be 68th anniversary. We sat in his living room the other day because I wanted to hear about his ministry. He's had a long ministry, and boy, I learned a ton from him last week. But he sat in his living room last week and cried because his wife has Parkinson's. And it's obvious she's not well. In fact, she was still in bed at 11:30 because of her health. She turned 88 last week. You know what? There's no doubt about it. He loved her. Here's what he said. He said, she's terrified of this Parkinson's, but I told her. He told me this in his living room last week. She's terrified of Parkinson's, but I told her the other day, honey, don't you be terrified. Because I'm going to be here. Now, I'm not leaving you. No matter what, I'm going to be right here until God takes you home or takes me home. That's called commitment. And it's beautiful. Slow down, y'all, and work on your marriage. Pray together. Love, submit, lead, follow, respect, flirt, smile. Live a long life together, happily married. It's worth it. And it's beautiful. I got a good friend who just buried his wife. Last 3 years, she doesn't know his name. Didn't know who he was. I've known her for years, and I went to see her, and she didn't know who I was. Had no clue. She didn't know her own husband. Do you know what he did for the last 3 years before she died? Got up every morning and hand-fed her breakfast. Every day at lunch, he fed her food. And every day at supper time, he fed her supper. I mean, put the food in her mouth like you would your baby for 3 years. Never heard him complain about it. That's the love of my life. You know, that's hard. But it's glorious. Because it very well may be the closest thing to heaven we will experience this side of heaven. An amazing, happy, glorious marriage. You got problems in yours? All right, let's take care of it. You need help? Get it. I don't know where to get it. Find you a couple that's got a happy marriage and meet with them. Say, hey, let's go out to eat. I got some questions for you. We're struggling. You say, well, I don't want to tell anybody. Stop it. It's not like people don't know. You can't fool people on that, can you? If you got problems in your marriage, it's not like people are going, oh, I didn't know that. People are like, boy, have you been around them? Come on, is that right or wrong? Nobody's fooled. Your kids aren't fooled. It's not like, boy, mom and dad are getting along great, aren't they? They know. So let's stop the games. Go somewhere and say, we are a mess, help! And let somebody help you. You might just need to start over. You might just need to say, hey, I'm trying to close, or I promise I'm trying to close. But you might just need to start over. You might just need to say, hey, let's have a little talk here. You know what? We've blown it. Our marriage is a mess, isn't it? Can we start over? Let's just start fresh. Will you go out with me Friday night? Remember when you first asked that question? Would you go on a date with me? What'd y'all do on your first date? Y'all remember or not?
Went to the zoo.
I don't know that I want to know. They went to the zoo. That's great, isn't it? We went to a soccer game on our first date. That's where we met, at that soccer game. Remember that? Will you go on a date with me? Sure. So why'd you fall in love? What happened? You didn't know each other, but you got to know each other, didn't you? And you're like, I kind of like you. Remember those days? I kind of like you. And you got pretty eyes. I kind of like him. Handsome stallion. Remember those days? Remember that or not? What happened? You fell in love. You started thinking, oh my goodness, I could spend the rest of my life with her. Woo, she's amazing. And then what happened? You got married. And what happened? You got your feelings hurt. And what happened? You got busy. And what happened? You quit praying. And what happened? You stopped flirting. What happened? You had children. Aren't they a mess to your marriage? They just come and stay. Y'all notice that? But you got to work at it, don't you? And then you hit menopause. Remember that? Those were great days, weren't they? Woo! Life's just that way, isn't it? Anything can tear your marriage apart. But you got to work at it. Look at this couple right here. Aren't they great? Two little girls and a little boy. And their life is busy. Isn't it busy? And I'm up here going, Lord, help them. I remember those days. I remember when I was preaching and my wife had 5 kids on the front row. I remember those days. That's a lot of work. There's all kinds of things that will tear your relationship apart. The children, you know, they're teething or, you know, they keep you up all night because they got the flu. But you got to stay committed. Am I making any sense or not? Can I just stop?
Amen.
Because I can preach all night. Y'all know this, don't you? Because marriage is important. So here's what the Bible is saying. Bible is saying, get into church. Well, first of all, get saved. Get into church. Grow in the Lord and go for a great marriage. That's what he's saying. And God wants us all to have it, and you can. All right? Now, it's time to go. But one or two questions before we go. Anything about marriage or growing in the Lord? Any one or two questions? You can ask anything. And if I can't answer, we got 2 pastors in the room, and I will deflect to them. Any question at all about marriage? Any issue? Any concern? Any thought at all before I have a brief word of prayer and call it a night? You can ask me anything. Anything at all? Do I babysit? Actually, I do. Y'all need a date? Me and those girls can get along. We'll get ice cream. I'll wire them up real good for y'all tonight. Ice cream makes everything better, doesn't it? That's a good question. You babysit? Is there a second question?
Where'd you go on your honeymoon?
Where'd I go? Well, I got married in Columbus, Ohio, and we spent 2 days in Columbus, Ohio. And then we went to New York City because my wife wanted to see a Broadway play. So I took her. You ought to have seen me in New York City, Tennessee Hillbilly in New York City. Bought me a nice Gucci watch off a guy on the street. That's the truth. I got that watch for $15. I was like, you can't get a Gucci watch anywhere else like this. I always wanted one. That's a good honeymoon. Got me a nice watch. My wife was so embarrassed. I talked him down from 25. If I'd have known it was fake, I'd have got it for $5. Well, I was so impressed. That was a great honeymoon. I loved it. We stayed up on the 38th floor of this one motel. I felt like I was closer to God. And I'd look out the window and be like, isn't that so cool? Look how far that is down there. It was just amazing. You know, take a Tennessee hillbilly with you anywhere. It's fun. All right. Anything else? Listen, God's for your family. I want you to go home tonight and think about that. God loves you. And anybody here can win at home. Now, I'll give you a couple just practical advice and we'll pray and be done. You could read some books that'll help you. You can get counsel that'll help you. You can pray about it and it'll help you. And there are some books on the table that could help you. And if you're not an avid reader, we'll start. One of the greatest things I've ever done is every year my wife and I have read together a book on marriage. And we just pick one, read it. I read it, she reads it, and we talk about it. It's helped our marriage. They're just books, so they're not inspired. But we've learned a lot from different people who write on marriage. So grow in your marriage and let God use you. Secondly, there's a lot of books on my table, and I hope you'll take advantage of them. I brought them so you could find books that will just strengthen your marriage and your family and help you. There's a devotional book on the family, a personal devotional, as well as a family devotional. If you don't have one, I recommend it. And there's several other books there as well. So I hope you'll take advantage of it. And I hope you'll come tomorrow night. Tomorrow night will be our last session together. But tomorrow night, let's talk about our children. Tomorrow night, let's talk about our children. How do we raise children so they know God? I'm going to tell you how tomorrow night, and it's really not as hard as you think it is. It doesn't happen by accident, but anybody here can raise great children. So I'm going to tell you how tomorrow night. Okay? Let's take a moment and pray, shall we? Before we go, you want to play a couple of verses? And if you want to, one of you ladies, who's playing tonight? Yeah, you want to just play? And just a couple of verses, because take a moment and pray for your marriage, will you? How many of y'all know somebody that's struggling in their marriage, do you? Pray for them, bear their burden. So let's just take a moment and pray. She'll play two verses. You take just a moment and pray and say, God, you men say, God, help me to love, help me to lead. Just so she's going to play, you pray. Would you? Just take a moment and pray. Ask God to help your marriage. Ask God to help you to love and lead and submit and respect. Just pray about it. Just take a moment and pray about it. Dear God and Heavenly Father, help us to apply your word to our lives, to our marriages, to our homes. Dear God, on the one hand, I'm always startled by how simple you keep it in your word. It's really not hard. But Lord, you know because of our old sin nature that we make it hard. We need your help. So bless every marriage in this room. Help the younger couples to grow and mature. Help the older couples to stay committed and sweet and loving as they get older. Bless us, O Lord, I pray. Thank you for Pastor taking our boys and girls tonight and teaching them your word while we've met in here. Thank you for his labor of love with the boys and girls. Bless him for that. Help them to grow and love you and become like you as well. Jesus, we love you. God, we love you. Dear Holy Spirit, we love you. Have your way now in all of our hearts, our lives, our homes. Jesus, in your name I pray this night. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and give you peace. Fellowship a little bit. If we can serve you, let us do it.